day. People. And if you're a people, you can probably relate. These are people looking for answers, people looking for deeper connections with God, people looking for fulfillment, people looking for love, people looking for purpose and significance in their lives. Now, in the political realm, this is a territory that's under the realm of Julius Caesar. I've heard of Julius Caesar. This is, at this time, he's the great emperor, right? Now, the Romans destroyed it to take it over. You can see a lot of ruins there. They destroyed it to take it over. And now they're in the process of rebuilding it, okay? And they call it the capital. So the capital at some point in time was not, what's the capital of Greece, anybody? Athens, right? The Olympics are going on, and the Olympics started in Greece, in Olympia, right? So currently the capital of Greece is Athens. It was at one time Corinth. Why? It offered a lot. It offered a lot of profits to the Roman Empire. Shipping trade, there's lots of population, people going and coming and going from all different places. And of course, there was a lot of corruption, a lot of dishonesty, a lot of perversion. Sounds like we're right there with them now. Money motivated. Now, if you kind of go through the rest of the letter, 1 Corinthians, Paul has some pretty harsh words for the believer. He has some pretty harsh words about how they're dealing with things that are around them, how they're affecting or being infected by the things that are around them. People do not always know how to respond to circumstances that are happening around them, particularly immoral ones, particularly unethical ones, or ones that hurt your feelings. Paul starts, like any good critique should, with some positive affirmations. People in Corinth, you are sanctified. You're holy. You're filled with grace. But, okay, you with me? So, even in that, it's probably a really good lesson that we can learn just from the scriptures, just from the way in which he's addressing someone, right? Just that before there's a negative, there's a couple positive reinforcements, and then the statement, right? Pastor, I really appreciate your ability to play the cajon and the guitar. I really appreciate that you're upfront and honest and do the things that you do. However, your wild hair and choice in shoes might be a distraction. You see? Positive affirmation and then a critique, right? Now listen, I put that up there, by the way, the difference between a critique and a criticism, okay? That often has a lot to do with relationship, because people are going to come at you and they're going to criticize you, and you're going to receive it as criticism, and they could be absolutely true, but you will not receive it because you think they're being critical when they're just trying to critique, okay? And that's a method, right? That's a method so that you don't get all defensive about maybe you should change your shoes, but I didn't receive that because the way they came at me. Anybody ever come at you like that? Then you spend the next 6 weeks thinking about, well, I really, maybe, possibly, could I, should have, maybe I should have wore different shoes. There's a difference between a critique and a criticism, right? And it's often not what you say, it's how you say it, whether it's received or not, right? And this is what they're doing. They're asking Paul questions. And so he's responding. You're grace-filled. You're sanctified. You're holy. But, you see, he's not taking away from them things. He's adding to them, adding to them, adding to them, and saying, maybe if we tried a different pair of shoes, you might be more comfortable. Okay? And listen, that's just a method of writing that he's got. I didn't even get too far into the passage of scriptures because in the first 9 verses, Jesus Christ is mentioned 9 times. To the church, I'm not going to read all the verses. Jess did a great job, by the way. Thank you. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Jesus Christ, called by his holy name, together with all of those everywhere who call on the name of Jesus Christ. Anybody in here call on the name of Jesus Christ? I mean, yeah, call on the name of Jesus? Yeah, he's talking to you. Apparently, Paul is influenced by Jesus, and he speaks and writes about Jesus a lot. And I know this. Here's your first one. This is God's church. That's what he's saying. God's church. Now listen, I'm grateful that the Lord showed me this a long time ago, and it set a precedent for me and my ministry a long time ago about whose church this is. This is not my church. It's his church. It's not my money. It's his money. This is not my body. I've given over my body to him. It's not my ways. I got a lot of ways. Not my ways, his ways. The sooner we can get to the place where we understand that you are dead to yourself, the more life in him you will discover. What does that mean anyway? I surrender all. Really? Some of us would be singing, I surrender some little bit, all but my money, all but my girlfriends, all but my... What does that mean at all, people? All, laying it all out. These folks in Corinth, they just needed a little bit of clarity. They needed we all need clarity from time to time. We all got questions from time to time. Even if it's to readjust, even if it's to repent, it's us talking about us. I have repented countless times as a minister. One of the most proficient that I was referring to that set a precedent in my own heart was that I was leaving one church and going to work for the national office. So I'm leaving this church that I've been there for over a decade. And so now I'm thinking, well, who's going to come in now? I mean, so who's going to start? Who's going to preach? Who's going to teach? And listen, I have connections. I know some pastors. I know some people. I know some assistant pastors and some youth pastors and worship leaders. I know some ordained ministers that would love to come to this church and just take over, man. They've got the zeal and the pep and, you know, and so I'm tossing and turning a lot about this. Who's going to come and, you know, lead the Bible studies? I mean, I care about the people. So who's gonna do the baptism? Who's gonna lead the communion? Who's gonna be like me and do all of that? And I'm tossing and turning one night in bed, probably thinking too much. Anybody ever think too much? You're stressing yourself out. And this is, I was stressed out about this. I'm leaving, and I gotta find a pastor for this church. I'm leaving. Tossing and turning, and the Lord fell on me. It fell on me like a warm rain. Just from head to toe, just like the tingles of rain, if you ever just laid out in the rain and just let it fall on you. Nice and warm, very comfortable. Praise God, right? And just knew it was the Lord. He said, they don't need someone like you. You've prepared them for the next level. That's all it was. That's all that was needed. That's all that was said. And I knew what he meant. So what do I do? What would you do? See, I see it as, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I repented right then and there. I am sorry. I'm sorry for thinking that this is my church. Of course you have my life in your hands. Of course you have this fellowship of believers in your hands. Of course you'll take care of them. Of course you will guide them. I'm sorry, Lord, for ever thinking that this was mine. This is not my church. This is your church. These are not my people. His people. God's church. I had to repent. I was sorry. The question is a good question. Is your church God's church? That's your next slide. Is your church God's church? I know an awful lot of ministers that say, my people. that are afraid to integrate their people with other parts of the body of Christ. They keep them sheltered and huddled in close. There's something to protecting the sheep, right? It's another to fence them in. I was trying to solve all the problems in the church. I was trying to solve all the problems in my church, but all the problems had already been solved in his church. You get it? Are you with me? See, I saw things falling apart. He saw things coming together. I saw things as failing. He saw things as transforming. I saw a congregation that was vulnerable. He saw a congregation that would unify. I saw problems. He saw a beautiful opportunity to minister into people's lives. Our ways are not God's ways. Which we think is not how God thinks. And the sooner we can die to our way, our self, our attitude, the more we will find we're living his way. And in him, and in Christ. Folks, there are times when we ought to just let go and let God. Let go and let God, baby. Walk with him. Not out in front of him. Don't outpace him. Lord, come with me. Come on, I got something to show you. He's seen it all, I'm sure. Walk with him. Don't lag behind. Don't lag behind. God's doing stuff. You better get on the train. Train's moving. People are meeting. People are praying. People are gathering together. Where are you? Sitting at home. Don't lag behind. Stop trying to control all the things that are going on around you. Stop trying to control all the people that are around you. Let go and let God. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. Wow, is that pretty tough order coming from Paul to that church in Corinth. I hear there's all kinds of stuff going on. I appeal to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Can't you all just get along? We're not going to agree on all things. I can tell you that right now. I've had way too much experience with that. Why? Because some people like chocolate and some people like vanilla. Some people like cake. Some people like pie. Some people like football. Some people like NASCAR. Some people like pros. Some people like to watch the college games. We're way too diverse, way too set in our ways, way too opinionated, and way too stubborn. That's the church. That's the church. But I bet we can agree on this. I bet we can agree on this. This is God's church. The Holy Spirit leads this church. Jesus Christ is present in the house today. And we better worship him and worship him alone. There will be no other gods before him. He will be our king. He will be our leader. We will practice forgiveness. We will welcome the Holy Spirit of God. He heals. He delivers. He redeems. He restores. And he convicts. We can stand united in this, that God builds this house. This is where the sacraments are carried out. This is where baptisms are held, marriage vows are made, memorials are celebrated, communion is remembered. The Holy Spirit is in charge around here. Jesus Christ is present in this place. Not me, not you, him. Let go and let God. Just like these folks in Corinth, they had some questions. Just like those folks in Corinth, we better ask some questions so that we get better understanding of what God is doing in our lives. I would suggest this as maybe the first question that you might ask. God, what do you want? What do you want? I plead with you all the time about what I want. Give me healing. Watch over my kids. I mean, make my money. Give me some. Yeah, why? God, what do you want? What do you want for me? A little patience. Patience? I want it now. A little kindness. Kind. You're very kind to me. Yeah, be kind to someone else. Be kind to someone. A little gentleness. Be gentle. You know, meekness. Strength under control. What do you want from me, Lord? A servant's heart? A washer? Feet of the people? What do you want, Lord? What is it that you want? Love my neighbor? People don't even know how to love themselves. Where you beat yourself up in your own head and your own mind and dig your own graves. How do you love your neighbor as you love yourself? I hear people say things to themselves they would never speak to a neighbor. Are you sure you're loving your neighbor as you love yourself? You better learn to love yourself as God loves you. Want me to seek you, Lord? I'm here. I'm opening the word, gathering in the fellowship. I'm open to receive whatever you might have for me. I want to learn of you. What is it that you desire of me, Lord? That's a great question. And I pray you ask it for the rest of your life. What do you want, God? What do you want? As a fellowship of believers, you might want to say, what do you want from us? What do you want from us? This little congregation of believers that gather here, that give to keep the lights on and a chicken on the pastor's table. And what do you want from us? Well, unity in heart, unity in mind. That we all together serve and worship the God? What do you want, Lord, from us? Promote submissions so that we can have impact not just here in our little community, but we can have impact on the other side of the globe. The opportunity exists. Is that what do you want from us, Lord? Go. Go. What? Yeah, go. Go and baptize them. Go, baptize them. Teach them everything I have commanded you. Go. Support that which is holy and sacred, set apart for God's good work. See, this place, sanctified, holy, set apart for God's good works. And we believe that about the church, and it's a beautiful campus, and education building, and the instruments, and we're mega blessed, and nice cushy seats for you to sit on, and air conditioning in the house, and it's a wonderful place. It's sanctified and set apart for God's use, that God might use it in a way and involve it in his plans. What do you want from us, God? Just like you would ask, you're the church, what does he want from you? I know that he has plans for me. I know that he has plans for you. I know that he has plans for the church. I know he has plans for this church. What do you want, God? That's a great, great question. I hope you ask a lot. And then when you ask, I hope you listen. Shut up. Be quiet. And listen, God's voice, God's movement will sound a little bit different than your own flapping lips. Stop. Seek the Lord. Ask the right questions and listen. Because verse 7 is pretty specific. You do not lack any spiritual gift. As you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. See, your next one is your church God's church? You're a gifted church. That's your next one. You're a gifted church. all that God requires is already here. This moment, this place, he's already poured out into you. He's already poured out into this moment in this time. Completely present now. You are amazing. Right here and right now. You are empowered by the God right here and right now. You can accomplish all that God has for you right here and right now. I can be all that God has asked of me right now. You are all that God has asked of you. I don't have to be anywhere else. Anybody got somewhere else they need to be? Go. I don't have to own anything else. I don't own the right car to worship God. You know what you're wearing? It's okay. It's okay. Your hair, it's fine. The shoes that you got on, they're fine. Right here, right now. I do not have to be someone else. I am. I am who God has made me to be. I am all that God requires of me right now. Church, relax in his presence. Surrender this moment to God. Fully present in his presence. See, not about yesterday's mistakes. If you're already thinking about yesterday's mistakes and all the reasons why you disqualify yourself, and some of you are doing it, you're living in history, you're living in the past, you're living in the what ifs, and you're living in the and if you're all thinking about tomorrow and the things that you have to do and the things that you're supposed to do and all the things that you're not going to be able to get done, and you're already living in your imagination, and you've missed the moment. Do you recognize, realize, or even know how to be fully present in the moment in his presence? It's a self-control thing that maybe we might want to get better at, to recognize his presence, be in his presence. And Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're here in this place at this moment. And some people need healing, Lord. You've heard their heart's cries. They need healing in their physical bodies. Some people need healing in their minds. They think entirely too much. They say way too many bad things to themselves. We need you right now in this place to be our healer. Some of us desire strong, deeper connection with you. Let it be so right here, right now. Many of us do not even like ourselves, and you love us. I don't want to go against you, God. Help me love myself, that I might be able to love my neighbor as myself. Heal me, touch me, move within my life. And this communion table, it will bring forgiveness. It's a wonderful reminder. You are forgiven. You are washed clean. You are made new. You are made whole. God sees you as beautiful and wonderful right now. And I'm going to mess it all up because I'm just going to go into communion right now. In his presence, Father, in this place, we remember you. We remember all that you've done for us. We remember the sacrifice upon the cross. Father, we remember the blood that was shed for our forgiveness, the body that was given. And Father, I pray that as we partake, Father, you would wash us clean. You would make us whole. And Father, we would be encouraged and inspired as your children. And we would begin to love as you have loved both ourselves and our neighbor. Guide and lead us, Father. Come before you in the name of your Son. Amen. Have the elders come forward. This is, we're trying to wrap these up. This has both the bread and the wine in there. So elders, please, if you would, we'll distribute them to you. We'll have one of these awesome guys say a prayer for us. My brother Jeff, how are you? Jess, my friend. Jeff, good job on Sunday school. Would you say a prayer? Thanksgiving for the cup. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for what communion represents. Your body broken, your blood shed for what? The forgiveness of sins. Lord, may we remember that today. Mm. Lord, bless communion today. Bless those who take it, Father.
Mm. Yes, sir. Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please. That's a wonderful slide, Miss Joe. How about the chorus, I surrender all? And I'll have to count on Miss Barbary. You guys sounded so good this morning. Surrender all, I surrender all. Was broken for us, put upon a cross for our ransom. The punishment that should have been ours was upon him. Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them saying, take this and eat this, for this is my body broken for you. Let us partake together. In a very similar manner, he took the cup. his blood spilled out for your forgiveness. He took it and said, take this and drink this, for this is a cup of my blood, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between you and God for the forgiveness of your sins. Let us partake together. Oh, Father, that we would receive that which you would have for us, that we would understand the cleansing power in the remembrance of your Son. Wash us clean. Forgive us our trespasses. May we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And in this place, this day, fully in your presence, we are yours. May your will be done. In the name of your Son, we would pray and give thanks. Amen. Gentlemen, thank you so much. All right. What do we do at New Life Alliance Church? There's your next slide would be this. We make disciples, we mature believers, and we multiply ministries. That's what we do. Over and over and over again. That's how I've always understood it. This is what we do. This is what we do. You can apply all kinds of different methodologies, study all kinds of different textbooks and tutorial books, but what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to make disciples. I'm trying to mature some believers. Why? So that they might have ministry. That's all we do, over and over and over again. God has great things in store. They may not be your things. That might be difficult to grasp and get hold of. They may not be your things and your ideas, but God has great things in store. I get a plate of wonderful, delicious chocolate chip cookies from my neighbor, and I wonder, man, what did I do that was so good that I deserve these chocolate chip cookies? And I realize I didn't do anything that was good to deserve these chocolate chip cookies. I got these chocolate chip cookies because my neighbor's good. You see, God give you some chocolate chip cookies? God give you some chocolate chip cookies? God gives good gifts. God restores you and brings you close. He washes you clean, restores the relationship, makes you brand new, and begins a work on you to transform you into the likeness and the image of his Son. That's a beautiful thing. Why have we gathered here? Why have we gathered here as this fellowship of believers? Is it to talk about all the things we're not? To criticize leadership or to complain about the color of the walls or question the methods of the Bible study that you use or just cause disruption because of a high opinion that you have of yourself and your thoughts and your ways? You know, we held a wonderful memorial service here. Just this past Saturday for our Elder Emeritus, David Frazier. If you were here, it was wonderful. If you were like me, you got to watch it online. Wonderful. Beautiful. It was a wonderful tribute. I hope we did your family justice and made it well, because David was an awesome guy. You know what we didn't talk about? We didn't talk about all the things David was not. Well, you know, Dave never did make it to the NFL. You know, Dave never did get his scuba license. You know, well, Dave never, you know, he never did, you know, sail a yacht around the world. We didn't gather to talk about the things that he was not. We gathered to talk about all the things that he was. Celebrate all that God is with you. Celebrate all that God is with you and you and you. Celebrate all that this church is. We can sit around all day long and talk about all the things it's not. You can sit around all day long and talk about the things that I'm not. But let's talk about the things that we are. Because if you're a gifted church, a blessed church, full of gracious church, there's a lot going on. God's moving in this place, and you're seeing what he's not doing. Are you seeing what he's doing? I don't worry about all the things I'm not, but I strive to be all the things that I am. And I don't lack anything. How do I know that? Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. You lack no spiritual gift. Really, Lord? Do I believe your word or do I doubt it? Are you going to receive what he says about you and walk in the ways of the things he says about you? Are you going to think about all the things you're not? God's doing amazing things, wonderful things in you and through you. Now listen, where's the wise person? Where's the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Does anybody see foolishness going on in the world? Does anybody see that? Yeah, if you see that, thank God you see it. Has God not made the foolishness, the wisdom of this world, foolishness? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. See, the world's wisdom is to not know God. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to those who would believe. Jews demanded signs. The Greeks looked for wisdom, but preached Jesus Christ crucified, and it becomes a stumbling block to the Jewish people. And to those whom God has called, both the Jews and the Greeks, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. Is there such thing as the foolishness of God? And if there is a such thing as the foolishness of God is far superior than the wisdom of men. And the weakness of God, is there such a thing as the weakness of God? And if there is a such thing as the weakness of God, it is stronger than any human strength that can be conceived. See, I dare not trust in any human endeavor. I trust the Lord. I dare not even begin to seek worldly wisdom. I lean upon the Lord. See, there's your next slide. I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? I know it looks foolish to the world. That's how I know it's right. I know it looks crazy to the world. That's how I know it's good. I stand on the word of God. Doesn't matter who the president is. I stand and lean upon the word of God. Doesn't matter what Congress elects. I stand and lean upon the word of God. It doesn't matter what happens at the Olympics. I stand and I lean upon the word of God. I follow God and just look at the world and go, foolishness, what craziness, God. You're welcome. You see it? You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Have I not made the wisdom of this world foolish? You've been imparted with something, and gifted with something, trusted with something. God is revealing something. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? I know that the Lord has not let me down in the past, not going to let me down going into the future. I know that the wisdom of this world tries to sucker me in, pull me in. It's always trying to get me into its intellectual ways to embrace the darkness, if you would. But I trust God. I trust his word. It is immeasurable, inconceivable, vast, infinite, and wise. I trust his word more than I trust their words. So whose fool are you? And who are you listening to? Who's influencing this precious mental cavity you call a brain? God has given us all the wisdom that is required to accomplish the plans that he has set out before us. He has given you everything you need to be the best you. He has given us everything we need to be the best us. The gifts that are in this church, they're not earned. They're gifted. They're given over. They can be sharpened. They can be crafted. You can get skill sets. You can get better at being you. The best you. They're given to edify the body and to reach the lost. Pretty simple. Make disciples, mature believers, multiply ministries. Well, what are we doing all that for? We edify the body and we reach the lost. We edify the body and we reach the lost. Over and over and over, we edify the body and we reach the lost. That they may come to know what's going on with us. What's going on with us? We better know what's going on with us. I do not need human wisdom. I need God's wisdom. And here's your next slide, too. I do not seek man's approval. I seek God's favor. Can I get an amen on that? Do you seek God's favor, or are you seeking man's approval? You will find yourself at a crossroads, I promise you, particularly if you're going to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And here comes the test of your faith. Are you going to follow man's ways? You're going to follow God's ways. And I promise you, you will be tested. You hear me say it all the time. You love the Lord? Yeah, prove it. Prove it over and over and over again. How? I choose God's ways. I choose God's ways, not the ways of man. I don't seek man's approval. I seek God's favor. I'm wise enough to know that I am not wise. That may be the wisest thing about me, is that I know that I'm not wise. I prefer to say the best thing that I've ever done was to listen to God when he spoke. To understand the voice of God when he spoke, when he called, when he chose me and said, I'm leading you this way. Will you come this way? To guide me and to protect me. When he decided to reveal himself to me, I listened. To when he chose to save me from myself. God has called each of you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you hearing what he's saying? Can you understand what he's saying? God has called each of you into his family. Are you listening to him now? He didn't call you to be Baptist. He didn't call you to be Catholic. He didn't call you to be Methodist and Lutheran. He called you into his family, to be the family of God, to be a Christian. This is what he's called you into. Is Christ divided? The Holy Spirit of God is present in this place. Now, we have all we need. We have all the forgiveness God can pour upon us. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit of God. He's filled you, Martha, with the Holy Spirit of God. Filled you, Colin, with the Holy Spirit of God. He's filled you to overflowing. Are you in your own way? Is your mind and the ways of the world in the way of God doing what he wants to do in you and through you? We're a guided church. Here's your next one. He will also keep you firm to the end. He calls you out, shows you stuff, and holds you to the end. That's amazing to me. Why? So that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You will be held blameless in the face of God, because you are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Man's not. No, your government, probably not so much. Man's not. God is faithful. God is faithful. He who called you, he's the one who called you. He's the one who led you. He's the one who inspired you. He's the one who stirred in your soul that you might react and respond in such a way as to say, yes, Lord, I surrender all. Now guide me, lead me, teach me, that I might walk the ways that you desire of me to walk. He called you into fellowship with his son. Oh, baby, I am in Christ. Somebody say, in Christ. The Lord knows what you need. The Lord knows what you desire. He knows your ambitions. He knows your dreams. And baby, he knows your fears. He will sustain those who follow him in his ways. You don't have to get it right all the time. Lord knows I don't get it right all the time. But you have to get up and keep seeking. You have to get up and keep trying to follow in his ways. That's a man or a person after God's own heart. Just keep seeking. Just keep searching. You fall down, get up. You stumble along, get back in step, will you? Get back in step. Start showing up at Bible study. Start showing up at prayer meetings. Start praying for people. Get back in. You fall out of line, fine. Get back in step. You drop the ball, pick it up. You sin, repent. You said something to somebody you shouldn't have said? I'm sorry, will you forgive me? You keep serving. You keep seeking. You keep honoring. You keep dogging on him. You keep forgiving. You keep loving. You keep praying. Doesn't matter what the crazy world's going to do. Doesn't matter what other believers are going to do. What has God called you to? Do that over and over and over and over again. Keep seeking, keep searching, keep following, keep praying. Much like Paul, there are times I get scared for the fellowship. Think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise, even by human standards. Not many were influential. You weren't born of noble birth. And then there's this phrase a lot of people love to say, but God. Yeah, I wasn't anything, but God. Yeah, I was walking in the darkness, but God. I was a terrible sinner and an addict and a drug, but God. But God chose. God chose. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He shows you in your weakness how to be strong. And what an amazing testimony to the rest of the world. I was walking in darkness, but now I'm walking in the light. I was lost, but now I'm found. Is that right? That's what we're professing. That's what we're talking about. That's the life we're supposed to be living. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that were even not yet to be. Wow. So that no one may boast. Because it ain't you that did it. It's the Holy Spirit of God that did it. So Lord, he's faithful and brought you out of the darkness. He's faithful and found you and said, come on, follow me. You think you're foolish? You think you're weak? You think you're lowly? Perfect. Right where God loves to work. And it is because of him that you are in Christ. Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. Want to get wise? Get to know Jesus. He is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. It's all his power for our righteousness and our holiness and our redemption. There's this awesome sacrament that we just participated in. What did it mean to you? And what do you want? God, what do you want? What do you desire? Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for these moments and these times. We can celebrate in remembrance of who you are, all that you've done. I thank you that we can worship you and sing songs to you. And Father, I thank you that you can minister into the very depths of our hearts and the depths of our souls, challenge our way of thinking. Father, minister to us in this place this day. We love you, Lord. We desire to serve you and serve you well and come before you in the name of your Son. Amen.